Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Monday, February 20th, 2012. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Mouse Chatters Chris, Lauren, Steve, and Bob. Welcome.
Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
You don't say welcome, I say welcome.
Oh, welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. No one does ever welcome me.
That's right.
Oh, so
or send you flowers.
Oh, yes. We'll talk about that. On today's show, we'll be bringing you some news from Disney, and we're also going to hit our main topic today, which is going to be the proposed X-Pass in association with Fast Passes at the Disney parks. So let's get rolling. I'm going to start off with news, and I think some of the most shocking news that we've got right now is the monorail. Steve, tell us about the monorail.
I don't know. I don't know if it's disappointing.
No, it's shocking that it's been allowed to get this far, in my opinion.
So there's a problem with the monorail beam. I guess one of the joints had an issue. So when they travel over that section of the track, they have to slow down currently until they get a chance to work on that part of the beam. And I don't know if it's actually been resolved yet or if it's something that's going to take more time to get fixed.
When somebody says they have to slow the monorail down because there's an issue with the joint, I kind of worry. You know, because what does that mean? If they go over too fast, it's like when you're roller skating and you go over a bunch of, you know, a bump in the sidewalk, you're going to fall over? Or maybe what's the deal? What's going to happen if they go too fast? Maybe the monorails, the track is going to break?
No.
I got to be honest, not much makes me nervous, but that does actually make me nervous.
That makes me nervous.
You know when there's like a pothole in the road and you run
right
over it? That there it is.
But you know what the thing? You know what the difference between a pot rail and a monorail? About 50 feet.
There's not a
pot rail?
There's no such thing as a pot rail.
I mean, I'm sorry, a pothole versus a monorail. It's about a 50 feet difference, right? I can't fall.
And who's been using the other kind of joint for the pothole?
Some more pot.
No, in all seriousness, I can fall off the monorail to my death, whereas a pothole is just going to inconvenience me.
I kind of like the
pothole
better. Is it
a pothole, or has there been some whole pot?
Right. I do agree with
I'm
you.
I'm nervous I could die.
We should clarify that this is only the beam between the Grand Floridian and the Magic Kingdom, so it doesn't affect the line to Epcot. That one's fine.
So everyone else in the Magic Kingdom will die.
Well,
yeah.
Obviously the problem, I guess, isn't serious enough that they don't have to stop running the monorail. It's just slowing things down. But the bigger issue is, and they're saying, yes, it was caused by cold weather, or that's what they suspect. Cold weather caused, beam damage, in one of the joints. But like Lauren said, the bigger issue is it was allowed to get to this point, or maybe it was Lisa who said it.
Yeah,
you know?
Got it.
I don't know if this is signs of a bigger issue where they're not doing inspections as often or as thoroughly as they were. I don't know if this is a cost-cutting measure, but something like that where, thousands of people ride on it every day, that kind of does scare me.
Yeah.
So that is bothersome to me, and I don't know. I mean, those monorails are, the cars themselves are the same ones that they've been operating for years. I think it's probably time that they take a good look at the system and maybe overhaul all of those vehicles and I don't know, if I was Disney, I'd be taking the time to inspect the entire monorail line at this point.
Because it's going to cost you more money if you have a major incident.
They do probably every morning and every night.
Right. I just don't know how you miss something like this.
Yeah, but I think it's like a road. You know what I mean? It's like when they pave a road, they have to pave one lane and then leave a lane open and then pave the other lane. So but on the monorail, they have like no alternate way to work on the existing line. There's only just the one path that you travel. So if there's
if
there's a problem, or if they have to replace a piece of track, the whole thing's down.
Right, so they'd have to run more boats, I guess, or it would just take a longer time to get people over. Yeah, it would be kind of nightmarish for a while. But I mean, that's better than the alternative of something potentially happening. And, you know, I mean, anybody who says that, oh, Disney's always careful with the monorail line, well, you know, past history, no, they're not. You know, they've been negligent before, so.
But they need to budget, like I think you were saying, for some additional trains and put, you know, three trains on this year and three trains the next year and three and just cycle them out and have that built into the budget.
Yeah. And I understand. I mean, they're not cheap. I know that replacing all those trains is hundreds of millions of dollars. But I don't know. I think it's time.
Okay, let's stay with the Magic Kingdom. And Lauren, what do you have for me? It's your favorite topic.
It is. It's food.
And it's not Duffy, though.
It's my second favorite topic.
You know what would be the ultimate for you would be a Duffy cupcake. It's food, Duffy, and a cupcake.
That's true.
And overly sweet, no doubt.
I'm sure.
All right. So they have actually added some new items to the kids' menus in the Magic Kingdom restaurants. Tony's Town Square has added a steak dish with roasted potato, sweet potato fries, and fresh fruit. And they can also choose from a grilled cheese sandwich on multi-grain bread. Liberty Tree Tavern will now offer flatbread pizza topped with barbecue chicken and pineapple and veggies and apples on the side. What else? Cinderella's Royal Table is now going to offer a chicken drumette with sides of rice and broccolini and beef skewers with mashed potatoes and corn, and also a chicken pot pie with biscuit crust. And then the Plaza, which is Bob's favorite restaurant.
so tasty.
is going to offer a choice of grilled chicken slices and couscous with a fruit skewer. So there's going to be some new options, which is kind of nice because I'm always complaining about the kids' menus in Disney. I think they need to revamp all the kids' menus, personally.
Actually, I agree with you. I think it's great to see some new choices for kids and, you know, not just chicken nuggets and, you know, hot dogs and macaroni
and cheese.
Yeah, and some healthier items, too, which is kind of nice to see. Yeah. You know, healthy, mm-hmm. healthy vegetable options and fruit options.
Well, and even just the meat, like steak and chicken and things like that. I think that's a great thing for the kids. I mean, most kids don't eat like, I don't know, like they did when we were kids. You know, I think more kids eat a little bit healthier today. I know my kids do.
All right. And especially if you've got like a kid who's not quite, you know, like a 9-year-old, you know, who's not eating off the adult menu, but maybe wants something more substantial than, you know, chicken nuggets.
Right. You know, and doesn't want to eat chicken nuggets 7 straight days for 2 straight meals a day.
Right. Yeah. So that's good. I hope they expand it to the other parks as well. I hope it, you know, takes off and feedback's good and we see more of that.
Yeah, I agree.
And Bob, you have something on the Magic Kingdom for us.
I do. Magic Kingdom proving very, very popular this week in news. all of you fans of Kim Possible who might have been eagerly anticipating this, the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom game is going to open to guests officially on February 22nd. This is an interactive game. It's included with park admission that guests can participate in that will take magic makers of all ages throughout Main Street USA, Fantasyland, Adventureland, and Liberty Square, as well as Frontierland. Similar to Kim Possible, except it doesn't use cell phones, but collectible cards with spells. The idea behind this game, is that Hades has taken over the Magic Kingdom in an attempt to make it his summer home, and wouldn't that be nice? Guests are recruited to stop him before he is successful, and you have to battle various villains along the way and using these collectible cards and these spells. And there's, of course, certain locations at the park where you would, you know, use these cards and you know, participate in this interactive game. So it looks like, you know, to start with, you'll get 5 cards and a map. Besides the normal mode, there's going to be, you know, a medium and hard mode for, you know, players that beat one level and want a harder challenge. And Yeah, so looks like a lot of fun. Imagineers are just putting the final touches on it, tweaking the difficulty levels and the sound settings, and look forward to that opening up later this week.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
I'm going to like that.
We love Kim Possible, but I think this is more...
Dun, 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 dun.
I like Kim Possible because of all the interactive stuff that happens, and this is more on video screens, but I'll still have to see.
Yeah, and you kind of have to use your, some thinking, it sounds like as far as these spells, you have to decide what spell you want to use against what villain, and obviously some spells will work better on certain villains than others, so there's definitely a replay factor as well.
Yeah.
And that you can try different spells different times. And I forgot to mention that guests can sign up for this at the fire station on Main Street by Merlin the Wizard.
And I heard there's something like 70 some odd cards, so you can keep collecting them and trade them. And
I think it's going to be great. I mean, there's a photo to this article, and it's this shows a guest in front of like a shop window, and the screen is interactive right there, like through the window. So it looks really, really neat. So yeah, I've never played Kim Possible, to be honest, but this looks like a lot of fun. I might check this out.
Are you going to go ahead and give Kim Possible a try too?
I don't know. I guess. I mean, if this is fun, I guess I could go back and try Kim Possible.
You need to try it. I just think it's so creative and so fun. I like how they change it up sometimes. Not very often, but they change it up. It's cool. I might be a big sissy or a softy, but I think it's awesome.
Well, no, I think, stuff like this is a great way for people to experience maybe portions of the park that they otherwise wouldn't, or things that they would have missed. Or, if you're someone who's in the park all the time, it kind of gives you a new way of looking at things too. And makes it more fun. So I like that.
Yeah. Kim Possible is great. Like if you're a regular, you get to see all kinds of cool little things, and we've done the ride so many times and it was fun to do it with the kids.
That's going to cover the news for this week. And we're going to go to our main topic, and this week we're talking about Fast Passes and the new proposed X-Pass. And this is going to stir up a lot of controversy. So let's get started on that. First off, who wants to tell us about the Fast Pass and the history behind the general current Fast Pass?
I can kick it off with just some basics about how FastPass works, if you don't know. Years ago, when we used to go, they didn't have a FastPass or anything. There was a left and right line. And if you listen to some of the books and guidebooks and stuff, you always wanted to take the left line. Then they came out with the FastPass system. And basically how it works is your room key, which is your ticket or your park ticket for the day. Certain rides have a machine in front of it. And you put your ticket in the machine, and it'll print out like a reservation basically for you. And it'll tell you what time to return to that ride to get in the fast pass lane, which is basically the quicker or no line type lane to get on the ride without having to wait 45 minutes or an hour for, say, something like Space Mountain. So you go to the ride, put your ticket in, get your tickets. And then it'll tell you to come back, in an hour or, 30 minutes later. It all depends on what time you're there and the ride, the different ride wait times. And the fast passes, they'll have a return between time. So it'll say, return between 8 and 9 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, it's this is something completely free. I mean, it's included in park admission.
For anyone.
For anyone, and it's not on every attraction. It typically is your e-ride tickets. So like Steve said, it's your Space Mountain, your Big Thunder, Splash Mountain, Soarin', Test Track, Expedition Everest, Kilimanjaro Safaris, Toy Story Mania. The other thing that's important is that to know is that fast passes are limited in number. Disney doesn't say how many are available per day. I'm sure it shifts depending on season and crowd levels. But once they're gone for the day, once they've all been distributed to guests, that's it. The controversy, I guess, that is developing is that it's been an it's been, I guess, an unwritten rule. I mean, yeah. There's never been any rule that said you had to return exactly within that FastPass return time window. So if your FastPass said, you know, return between 1 and 2 p.m., you didn't necessarily have to, and a lot of people didn't. You just had to make sure you return the same day because they are dated passes. But, you know, a lot of people would save up their fast passes and then later in the evening would go back and you know, ride all these rides for
when there were no more fast passes available.
Yeah. You know, they would go into the fast pass line. And, of course, this did tend to result from time to time with bottlenecks in the fast pass line where, you know, instead of 5 minute, 10 minute, 15 minute waits in the fast pass line, which is what the whole idea behind it was, you'd end up with 30 minute, 40 minute waits in the fast pass line. So sort of defeated the purpose, and I know that angered a lot of guests. So Disney has apparently decided, and I don't think we've seen confirmation of this yet, but everyone is, you know, everyone in the Disney universe is saying that they are going to be doing this, that as of March 7th, Disney is going to be rigidly enforcing the FastPass return times. So you will have, you know, to use the FastPasses within those times, and you'll have from 5 minutes before the FastPass return time up until 15 minutes after the FastPass return time. If you try to return after that window, they will supposedly turn you away. Whether they are going to actually start doing that or not, like I said, I don't think we've seen confirmation from Disney yet, but I will tell you that I was just in the parks this past weekend, and they were aggressively scrutinizing every FastPass and looking at the return times and only letting in people at certain times, you know, whose FastPasses were for that return time. So it looks like they are moving forward with that policy.
Yeah, and for us, because we go to the park so often, we knew that that was the rule, and we always returned, I guess, later in the day. So I don't think I ever actually adhered to the rule, but I wonder if people that are tourists that don't know about that are always, you know, strictly doing it, and we're in the minority, and say 90% of people are going between those times.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sounds like that. I mean, from what I'm reading and from, you know, feedback that I'm hearing from people, a lot of people are saying exactly that, Steve, that, you know, well, we always return during the return time, so this won't be a problem for us. Now, I don't know if that's just something people say to make themselves feel better, you know, because it seems like, it really does seem like 90% of people have followed the rules, and I kind of find it hard to believe that it's only 10% of the, you know, Disney guests that are, you know, but that's the thing. There was never, I mean, people are saying, well, you're breaking the rule if you return later, but there never was any rule. There's no rule to break.
Yeah. Well, know? I mean, it says on your ticket, but then, you know, the first time I did it, I realized, I don't know how I figured, you know, just because I've been so many times, I guess. And then it was like, okay, I have to use this one after 1 o'clock. And so I would just throw it in my pocket and grab some more and do my day and then see what I had at near the end of the day and use them.
You really just, you know, take up a collection of them.
Yeah. But the problem is with the system is then, you know, at 9 p.m., the people that are supposed to be on this ride have a longer wait because a lot of other people like myself were clogging the line.
Right.
You know, by not returning when we were supposed to. So they're trying to, I guess, get the system back to the way it was. And and everyone is saying, you know, that's getting ready for X Pass, so they know how many passes they have available at certain times to let people book their attractions and rides in advance.
And I don't know. I mean, I just think that if Disney wanted to enforce this policy, they should have done so from the beginning. I mean, I think I found out that you didn't have to stick to the return time on the FastPass ticket from a cast member who told me, "Oh, you know, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to use that exactly now if you don't want to."
I think that's how I found it out too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because I was afraid, like, "Oh gosh, I you know, I forgot that I had this. You know, can I still use this? I'm a half hour late." "Oh, sure, you could use that for hours from now." "Oh, okay."
You know who this is going to affect the worst are those cast members. When you've got some guy, you know, he's 20 years old, he's making $9 an hour. He's going to have to deal with I was trying to be generous. He's going to have to deal with, you know, tons of irate people who are going to abuse him and push him around. And because he's a cast member and because, you know, they're going to provide as, you know, good a customer service as possible, he's going to have to take it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to be a frontline cast member starting in March. And I have to wonder if that's why they were being so aggressive in their enforcement this weekend, kind of gearing up.
Practice
for that and seeing, you know, how people are going to take it. I mean, that definitely is a concern. But I mean, do we think, what's the consensus among us? Do we think that this is a prelude to XPass?
I think so.
Yeah, because they have to manage the queue, which they haven't been doing. So now they have to manage it, which is a good thing, I guess, for everybody, at least from a FastPass standpoint, because now, you know, you're not going to get in Soarin' and wait 25 or 30 minutes, hopefully, in the FastPass line because people have come at different times. They'll manage it to where you're actually close to the front of the line or waiting maybe 10 minutes. But then they're going to take whatever the allotment is per hour, and they're going to take a certain percentage of that and use that for people on XPass so they can schedule in advance their attractions. And they're supposed to be putting in additional fast passes at other attractions just to kind of even it out and add some value. So there's different things that people can book, like Spaceship Earth.
Right, exactly. I've heard that exact same thing. To make people, have the impression, think that they're getting a better value if they've paid for XPass. And I know we've talked about XPass briefly on the show, but we should probably go over for people who aren't familiar with what it is.
Yeah, so the basic idea of XPass that everybody's heard is that you can buy a package, and they're talking about, the rumors are that they're going to roll it out at deluxe resorts at Disney World. And then if that goes well, maybe it'll be at moderates and maybe it'll be at value resorts, or maybe it'll be something you can purchase. But none of that's come out yet. But the rumor is that you would have a deluxe stay at the Grand Floridian or one of the other resorts, and you could add this to part of your vacation package, where not only can you now schedule your dining in advance, but up to 6 months in advance, you could pick your attractions that you want to go on. So you could say, you know, possibly I want to go on Space Mountain between 3 and 4 at the Magic Kingdom, and then I want to ride this ride, and then, you know, the next day I want to go to Epcot, and here's the list of attractions I want to schedule out. And then you'll get either something on your ticket or maybe a printout or something that allows you to go to those attractions or fast passes or X passes, I guess, to attend those attractions at those different times.
Oh, I was going to add, and in addition, I mean, it's at least rumored right now that XPass, people who pay extra for XPass will also get FastPass privileges for character greetings, which I don't know how they would work that out, as well as special seating for parades and fireworks.
Yeah, that's true. They did test the different seating or parade.
Yes, they did. They tested special parade seating early on.
So they're trying to add value and create, I think it's something between a fast pass and getting your own tour guide. Because if you wanted to, you could get, you know, a guest services person that takes you around and gets you, you know, they don't say they get you front of the line access, but they can either get you into the fast pass line, or they can at least be someone who runs around and gathers up your fast passes while they're touring you around the parks. But that's a very expensive package. So I think they're trying to hit the market that's below that, where someone can automate this and schedule their own, I guess, vacation and plan it out to what attractions they want to hit.
See, my issue is that, I mean, really, how many fast passes, unless they do what they're saying, what you were saying, and they actually add more fast passes in, but really, how many rides do you actually fast pass in, let's say, Epcot?
Yeah, you don't. So that's why they're going to add, I think we've heard they're going to add Spaceship Earth and the Seas with Nemo.
But come on, have you ever waited for Spaceship Earth?
Yeah, see,
no.
But we know that. But and your typical person's not going to know that. So they might, I mean, so that'll draw people that want the X-Pass or Fast Passes to those attractions that don't know that. And it'll maybe free up some wait times for some of the other ones.
But you know, here's the thing. I mean, obviously, if they're giving out these Fast Passes for people that have paid for X-Pass, it's going to reduce the total amount of Fast Passes available
to everyone
else.
Available to the general public, right.
You know, and the other thing is, I mean, aside from the whole let's kill the spontaneity issue of, you know, like, no planning whatsoever. I mean, like, you know, I'm all for planning, you know, dining reservations in advance, but planning down to what time. How do you plan? Well, gee,
right.
I mean, it's June. In December, I'm going to Disney. What day of the week do I want to ride, you know, Space Mountain, and what time do I want to ride it? That's
right.
A little, you know, OCD for me. But even, you know, putting that aside, the thing that I hate about this the most is the class system that it's going to create.
Yeah, elite.
Do you know what it does? It's kind of like a marketing ploy. It's kind of like calling a resort a value, a moderate, or a deluxe. And there are tangible things that make those resorts a value or a deluxe or whatever. But ultimately, it's kind of a marketing thing to make you think you're getting something more for your money. And it's the same with the X-Pass. If you're selling something that's basically useless, like a Spaceship Earth Fast Pass, but you're putting value to it, then people are going to buy it because they think there's some worth to that.
Right,
somebody
they think they're
will
getting
buy
something.
It. And it is. It is exactly like giving the names of the resorts, you know, very specific names to appeal to certain types of people.
Right, and I know that there are people who say, well, but I'm staying at the Grand Floridian, and I don't understand, you know, I got to Epcot, you know, and by the time I went to Soarin', there were no Fast Passes, and
right.
I had to wait, you know, 2 hours just to ride it. And that's not fair. I'm paying, you know, $700 a night for my room where, you know, but that's been the whole beauty of, you know, Disney is that, you know, regardless of whether you stay in a value or you stay off site or you stay in a deluxe or whatever, you know, you get into the park, you don't know how much the person standing next to you paid for a room, and it doesn't matter, you know.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
Other than those people that are going around with those special tours,
which
it really
are rare.
Doesn't. You know, yeah. I mean, it's fairly egalitarian. And maybe that's too much to expect. You know, for the longest time, we sort of expected Disney to sort of be that way. But they're obviously if they do this, they're taking a cue from, you know, Universal, for example.
Yeah.
Where you can buy these passes.
Right, but, well, okay. Yeah. If you stay on property at Universal, you get the. What do they call it? I think they call it the Express Pass, which gets you front of the line privileges at every attraction except Forbidden Journey and Rip Ride Rocket. No front of the line privileges there. But the difference is people say, oh, well, that's a great value. It's and you get it for free for staying on property. Well, a couple things. One, the prices of their resorts jumped way up when they, you know, put that in as a, you know, feature. You know, I mean, they went from, you know, $150 a night rooms to, you know, $250, $300, you know, and up. I mean,
rooms are really expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I paid with a Florida resident discount in late March $300 a night for their resort. And that's with a substantial, you know, Florida resident annual pass holder discount. So it's very, very expensive. So it's not the value that you see. And then the other thing is Universal only has three resorts. Disney has what, 22, 23, 25 with their villas? I mean, so you can't offer Express Pass to everyone. So you do have to limit it. So who do you limit it to? The people who are most likely to purchase.
Spend the money.
And that's going to be people in deluxe resorts because – you know, they're going to see it. They're going to perceive it as some great value.
Yeah.
And something like, that they want. Yeah.
Yeah, like you're saying, Universal, they sell it also at the ticket office so you can buy it as an add-on. But I think if Disney does that, they have too many people that would buy it, and then it would have no value because it would just flood the Fast Pass queues.
Right.
And then
so you
nobody
don't
would
think
get the front.
That, you don't think that it could possibly be a, you know, resort, you know, you're staying on a resort this is the benefit of staying on property, or you think it really will be for the deluxe resorts?
I think it'll be. I think just because of the sheer number of people.
I think there's too many.
I think it's just going to have to be limited to deluxe, and you know that's not. And I think that isolates a lot of people. I mean, it certainly isolates. Yeah, I mean, it isolates all of your locals.
But you know what? It's not just one park that it's that the resort guest or the deluxe guest will be going into and getting this advantage. It's four parks. I don't know.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying.
Huge?
I mean, they'll do deluxe, and then they'll check the numbers, and they'll see, all right, you know, what's the wait time? Can we fit moderates in? And then, you know,
can we offer this to the general public?
This will be like a test shot to across and see what happens. I would never plan my vacation that way, so I would never use it. And I can see where some people might think it's a great thing because they don't know. And maybe there's other parts of it that aren't out there because there's, you know, parts of it that with an RFID chip are going to say your kid's name and the new Little Mermaid ride or different things that are going to be part of it to make it extra special. To plus it up, but it's just too far. Even if I plan stuff a week in advance, because it doesn't have to be 6 months, it's just too far in advance, and I don't like to vacation that way. I like to know I'm going to this park, and I kind of want to experience things not to a set schedule.
I mean, but what kind of a message does this send to guests? Like, okay, yes, we're still going to have fast passes available to, you know, regular guests who don't have or can't get X Plus, you know, or X Pass, you know, just in more limited quantities than before. You can still have a good time, but if you stay in a deluxe resort and you pay us extra money, we'll show you an even better time.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's saying, we don't care about you as a person. Bring
your
money.
We just want your money.
Right.
I get it. But it's also the same as like the new wild, you know, the different adventures that you can take at Animal Kingdom, where you can go to SeaWorld to Discovery Cove and swim with the dolphins.
But that's completely optional. I mean,
and anybody can do it.
I mean, limiting
it.
You know, I mean, why should people who pay extra for X-Pass get special seating privileges, you know, special seating areas for parades and fireworks? So you're telling me if I show up to the park and pay $90 for my ticket for the day and I sit there on the curb in a prime viewing spot for 2 hours because I really, really want to see this parade and then the fireworks, I'm going to get pushed out because somebody who paid, you know, $800 a night for a room and then paid, you know, however many hundreds of dollars or maybe thousands, who knows, you know, let's see what they can get, you know, for this privilege is going to push me out. Just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's a total class system. You know, it definitely creates a divide because the only way you can get it is, you know,
to stay in a deluxe resort.
Yeah. Or even if they expand it to everybody on property, the only way you can get it is to shell out a lot of extra money. I mean, is there really any need for that?
The one thing that I always enjoyed about Disney, and the one thing that struck me from the very first time I ever went to the parks, was that when I had that ticket in my hand, I could do anything in that park. That really bothers me that they would take that away. You know, at this point, I'm sort of still thinking that there's somebody really, really smart who has figured all this out and is going to do the right thing. You know, I mean, a lot of times we've sort of overreacted when things have come out and, you know, we've been wrong or whatever. I still have faith that something good can come out of whatever this is.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting to see. And you still can do everything. I mean, you can still see the parade and you can still get a fast pass. You can just pay more and reserve it 3 months in advance for some reason.
You can still see the parade.
But how do you even do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's one other question. What's going to happen when you have what happened with the reservations?
Oh,
with the dinner reservations, where people will book themselves to be in Epcot and book themselves to be in, you know, Magic Kingdom, and now you have all these fast passes that are eaten up.
You have to think that they sort of factored
that
in, right?
That's a lot of tracking.
How do
you track
it, though?
That's a lot of trouble to go to.
How do you check?
Because they're assigned to you. So there's got to be, maybe they're tied to your reservation, or, but you don't need a reservation. Well,
we're going to have to see how it works, but I assume you can only, I assume you can only book, you know, you can't book fast passes. Like you can't get two for the same time now. So the new system would be the same thing where you can't book a Epcot fast pass between 9 and 10 and Magic Kingdom at the same time.
Can I just add a little something here? And one thing I noticed is that, because we ended up getting, Bob wrote an article about this on the blog, and we got a ton of comments on it and a lot on Facebook as well. And the one thing I saw there and elsewhere was that people who were going as adults or maybe just with one child had a much different view of the fast pass return time changing and the X pass. It just, I think that if you're a parent with multiple children, it's a nightmare, because I will tell you that when the reason I never return on time with my fast pass is because my kids can be unpredictable. You know, someone's always running to the bathroom or throwing up or punching the other one. I mean, you know, and
someone's,
I know that,
always throwing up.
Well, you know,
what
on
are you
that
doing
last
to these
trip,
kids?
On that last trip, yeah. I mean, Eric got sick, you know.
Yeah, no,
I four
I'm
days
just,
out
I'm
of seven easy. In the park.
Well, but you know, but you do. Yeah, you do raise
you
a good point. I mean, yeah, how do you
there's
plan
too much flexibility in a trip.
A meal will run long, a child will be tired, someone will have a fever or get sick, someone, you know, needs to go back to the resort. Yeah, it's,
here's something I thought about too. Every time we go to Hollywood Studios, which is the only park that stresses me out, because I feel like this is a park where you really have to be on your game as far as getting a fast pass, getting there at rope drop. But when we go there, you know, my older child always wants to do Jedi Training Academy. And so if I got a fast pass that said I had to be back at 10:30, between 10:30 and 11:30, but I got an appointment for my kid at Jedi Training Academy at that same time, which one am I going to pick? You know, I mean, so then you're putting me in a situation where I can only do one thing that I want to do. Whereas before, we'd get the Jedi Training Academy thing. That would pretty much, you know, decide how our whole morning was going to go. And we'd go back later, you know, in the day with our fast pass for Toy Story Mania.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be very...
It's going to change it.
You're going to have to make a decision, Chris.
I know.
It's going to be tough.
You know what, though? And think about it. Like, all these people who... You have your touring
force.
Plans. I know. I'm telling you, that kid, I mean, you know, they love that. They love Jedi Training Academy. And, you know, it's like a big part of our trip.
I'd love to be as positive as you and Steve are, that you have faith.
Steve's not positive, and he doesn't have faith. Don't say that.
I have faith that they're going to work it out. I don't think it's something I would actually use, and I don't see the value in it. But maybe, you know, when it's out there, I'll change my mind. You know, it's the same thing where they were going to put images on the castle, and everybody was like, oh, my God.
Oh, that's
I can't believe they're putting images on the castle. How can they do that? How are people going to see their image? You know, and then it worked out.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this goes beyond, this goes way beyond that. And I mean, you know, remember that this is the same company that, you know, in response to Harry Potter, their big announcement is World of Avatar. Okay? And it's a little hard to have faith, you know.
There's certain things that you see them do, and you think, what in the world?
And I mean, you know, so, and exactly what is all this additional revenue going to?
To fix
the monorail.
The bump in the monorail, Bob. Come on.
Yeah. The pot rail?
Yeah.
The pot
rail. It's expensive.
Yeah. You just had to, you know, get that in there. You know, better churros? I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I do like churros.
Yeah, Chris loves. Gosh, she's like all over those churros this year.
I love them. They're fantastic.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you have to hold out hope that they're going to do the right thing, but
it seems to me, though, too, is that, you know, I think there's some sort of unspoken, like, thought that we expect better from Disney. Like when Universal does something, I'm like, it's Universal. But if Disney does something, it's almost like I'm disillusioned or something. I kind of feel embarrassed by my sort of need for Disney to do the right thing all the time.
Yeah, and even Six Flags now has tickets where you can buy a front of the line extra pass.
Yeah,
so I mean, it's like the way the industry is going.
And Universal, when they first started, I mean, because they introduced their X-Pass system after Disney did. And when it first came out, it wasn't a pay-for system. It was one where you could, you know, it was free, just like Disney. And if you were an annual pass holder, you could get 3 fast passes at one time. And people loved it so much that what did they decide to do? You know, they started charging for it, you know, and they took a lot of flack for that, you know. And so they, you know, so they try to say, oh, well, you know, we'll add it in as a benefit to our resort. So if you stay on property, you know, and away from, you know, Disney, you know, we'll include it as a benefit, you know, absolutely free, which is not absolutely free because room rates went way up. So, I mean, who
so
are they?
So much for free.
You know what,
right,
though, Bob?
So,
I have to say something, though. If you, I wouldn't have a problem with it if Disney did it and did it for free for the people staying on property. And if you want to charge people staying off property. Because I would be okay with.
But
and
what,
even if
what?
You raise the prices a little bit for that, that's still okay with me.
But then you have Bob
and his situation.
Right. I mean, so is it a money thing? I mean, you're staying on property and you're theoretically spending more money?
I think it's another perk to if you stay on property.
But what about locals who don't need to stay on property?
Well, that's why you open up to people staying on property and AP holders.
Yeah, I agree. Or at least with AP holders discount.
Something.
Like a discount off of it.
I don't know. And maybe all of these things are being considered.
Or you could get a yearly AP fast pass.
Well, and let's not forget that, I mean, that's not Disney's bread and butter anyway. You know, I mean, the bread and butter are the people who come and stay on property. And the pass holders are great, but, you know, that's not the bulk of the business.
Well, at Disney World, yeah, it probably is not. At Disneyland, you better believe it is, which is why, you know, they're not proposing X-Pass out there, oddly enough. But, you know, I mean, in an ideal world, I mean, I know you criticize, you know, Universal as saying, yeah, it's Universal. But, I mean, really, competition between the parks is supposed to make each park better. You know, I mean, like, you know, Universal does something that's good. You know, it's supposed to encourage Disney to, you know, step up their game and vice versa. And I don't know. I mean, I look at various decisions and various things I'm seeing at the parks. And I haven't had a good rant in a while, and it feels good to get it out.
Who are you kidding?
I haven't had a good rant on the podcast. I've had rants on blogs, but, you know, and an email. You know, but I mean, if you know, so I see decisions and I see certain things that are happening and you know, rumors of things that are, you know, supposedly coming down the pike. And I don't know. I mean, if I was Disney, I'd be checking my rearview mirror because Universal's, you know, coming up pretty fast on your tail. You know, I mean, their profits are way, way, you know, above, you know, what your profit. I mean, obviously not dollar wise because they have fewer parks and resorts, you know, and their theme parks make up a far smaller percentage of overall profit. But I mean, growth in attendance and merchandise sales are way above anything Disney's done. You know, I mean, and, you know, with Harry Potter, and that's not slowing down. 2 years later, the numbers are still proving very, very strong.
Harry Potter, you know, it's a Star Wars type thing. It's Star Trek. You're going to have followers.
Right.
It's strong.
And it's going to be like that. I think we've talked about it. I think we all agreed that 10 years from now, 15 years, 20 years, it's still going to be strong. I mean, it's going to be around.
It's got staying power.
Right. And then, you know, you're going to have this proposed likely big expansion at, you know, Universal in the Amityville area, which is huge. You know, and then you're going to have it in both parks, you know, and you're going to have a Harry Potter area in, you know, Hollywood, Universal Hollywood, and potentially in foreign parks, you know, once it proves successful there. So, I mean, there's a lot of growth there. I mean, what is Disney answering with? Fantasyland expansion and, you know, World of Avatar and, oh, let's charge more money to people with this X-Pass system.
But, you know, I still have to think that Disney knows what they're doing. They're so successful in just about everything they do. And if they're not, they either fix it or they dump it.
So yeah, they dump it pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and
but
sometimes
wow,
they dump it before they get a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going
to... Well, it's kind of like those wellness suites over at the Contemporary. You know, it was kind of a big fanfare, and then all of a sudden, oh, very quietly, no big announcement, no nothing, it just disappeared.
But how much money did they spend, you know, developing that and testing that?
Yeah.
And if they...
Well, obviously
they doing,
it went pretty far. Yeah.
Right, and if they knew what they were doing, I don't know. I mean, because the argument would be, if you know what you're doing, there would be no need to cancel it because you would have tested it and done surveys and
before
seen
it became hype.
Before it became hype. Yeah, before you put a news article out and you let the media get wind of something, you know, you would further research it. And yeah, so I don't know. Those are the kinds of things that make me shake my head. And I don't know. So I just want to get, you know, Bob Iger in a room and just shake him and say, you know, you were supposed to bring balance to the Force, you know, not destroy it. You know, it's, you know, like the...
I always sort of wonder, like, I would love to be a fly on a wall on some of those meetings when you've got this, like, you know, eager beaver up and coming kind of guy going, hey, let's do blank. And, you know, you just have to wonder when things start to...
Oh, I know they've got to be looking at Universal saying, wow, you know, that system with front of the line, you know, privileges for guests who stay on property is proving, you know, to be a huge benefit. And we should come up with something like that. What could we give them? You know, and I'm sure it probably started from there, you know, with an idea that you can charge more money for it, too. You know, I mean, if people will already spend $800, $1,000, $2,500 a night on, you know, a room or a suite or whatever it is and not question it. Right. Well, but they also get so many first-time visitors at Walt Disney World. I would hate to think that people are going to buy into the system thinking, I need this as a first-time visitor. You know,
I think they need to stay.
I think that's what they're counting on, right?
I think
that's overwhelming
that don't
for them.
Know.
That, right. I think, so can I just say that, Chris?
The other day I had a lady call me and she only wanted two-day tickets for her group, but she wanted a water park and more and a park hopper. And I said, you know, that's going to add $116 per ticket and you only have 2 days. And she's like, well, I just wanted to make sure I got the best. And I'm like, so that's how that works. And it's going to work that way with the X-Pass. People are going to say, I need the best because I need to have that experience without understanding that they just added $100 that they don't need to that ticket.
Or a lot more. Exactly. And you don't need it, especially as a first-timer. You don't need all the bells and whistles. But a lot of first-timers do feel overwhelmed. I think we've all probably heard that from people. Gosh, there's so much planning. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. So, yeah, I mean, if they market this as something like, oh, plan way in advance and have it all laid out in a nice, neat schedule.
I personally don't see how it's going to work. I don't see how you're gonna get people to be able to schedule that many things. Like, I don't see it working. I don't see it flying.
I think you just have way too many people at the Disney parks to make it work. I mean, that's one of the things Universal has actually working in its favors, a lot lower attendance. You know, I mean, you know, they have a few million people, you know, that visit their parks, and Magic Kingdom alone gets something like 14, 15 million people in a year. I mean, that's a lot, you know. So, yeah, that definitely is a concern. And I don't know, maybe this will just quietly go away like the health and wellness suites, like Chris said. I would love to hear feedback from people listening. I mean, you know, have they heard of X-Pass? What are their thoughts? Do they like the idea? Do they not like the idea? I mean, all of this, you know, does the FastPass thing play into it? I mean, I you know, are we totally off base here, or are our listeners on board with this? Or, you know, because maybe people love this.
You know what's going to happen? Is this going to be one of those things that never happens and then we're going to look like a bunch of schmucks? Like that time we were all excited about free dining and then it didn't come out.
You were excited about free dining.
Oh, you were excited too. Don't deny it.
Mm. Hmm. Hey, Steve, why don't you tell us some of those questions that you asked and the responses you got?
Oh, yeah. So I put this on Facebook. I put it on Facebook and I first put out on Facebook, would you be interested in booking your attractions and rides up to 6 months in advance? And 90% of the people said no. And then I put on Facebook, would you be interested in booking your rides and attractions up to 6 months in advance if you got front of the line access? And 60% said no and 40% said yes. And then I planned on putting out the part where you had to pay for it to see what people would say. Because in neither of those did I tell people that it was going to be an extra charge. But still, right. It was interesting that 60% didn't want to do it even if they got front of the line access. And only 40% wanted to book right. it.
Right. Yeah, that actually is interesting because I think it goes back to, you know, maybe people think that it's, you know, too much planning.
It's almost like we're going back to the original ticket system that you have to plan your day, what you want to ride on, allocate, okay, we can do this and that, we can get a fast pass for this and that. And I see some similarities.
Yeah, I only have 4 e-tickets in my book, right. So I got to use them.
And right. I only have 6 fast passes, so how do I?
And if you think about it, as much as I hate to say it, the ticket books were kind of a class system in themselves, because if you could afford to pay more, you could get more e-tickets.
Yeah, that's true. So it's basically because everyone could get in the park for a certain amount of money, and then you got tickets, and whoever you could buy as many books as you wanted.
I don't see that at all as a class system, though. I think the more expensive rides, or the bigger rides, the more thrilling rides, the ones that are harder to maintain, that take up more land, more expensive to build, obviously you're going to charge more for those and give them an e-ticket. And that's probably why Small World got the e-ticket, is, you know, people question that, but it's a huge ride with a lot of stuff involved. And I think...
Well, and it was a classic. It was a very popular ride when it first came out.
Yeah, it was, of course, very popular. But I don't see that as a class thing. I see that as you want the bigger rides, you have to give up the e-tickets. You want to go on them a lot, you got to go buy some more e-tickets.
Okay, but how is that any different than saying, you know, you want to ride the bigger rides, you know, and get, quote-unquote, front-of-the-line privileges, even though it's not... you have to pay into FastPass. You know, you want a better viewing spot for parades or fireworks? Buy into, you know, the X-Pass, rather. You know, you want front-of-the-line access for characters? Buy the X-Pass. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. I mean...
I see it kind of like a carnival. You know, one of those portable carnivals that comes up and goes down, and they sell this ride. If you go down the big slide, it's 2 tickets. If you go on the little ladybugs that spin, it's only 1. But if you want to go on the roller coaster or the ones that make you throw up, that's going to be 4 tickets. Any kind of tilt-a-whirl, spinny machine, barf machine.
All right, you know way too much about carnivals.
No,
were you
but,
a carny?
Yes. I mean,
yes.
And did you just, my bigger question about that one is, did you just compare Disney to a carnival?
No. No, but just hear me out. Because... Okay. We saw a carnival locally, and I checked it out because I actually had $1 in my wallet, and we couldn't do anything, so we just checked it out. And looking around and looking at the different prices, and it was, I think, $1 for a ticket. So you're thinking $2 to go down the slide or whatever it was, and you start reevaluating. I think the Funhouse was 6 tickets, but they sold a wristband. An unlimited use wristband for $20. You know darn well everyone's going to buy that wristband instead of buying tickets.
Oh, yeah, I always go for the wristband.
Right. And so they've got you locked in for that $20. So it's kind of the same thing, but on a Disney level.
Yeah. I think people have this idea, especially if they've never been, or they've only been once or twice, you know, that, well, you know, next time I'm going to see it all, I'm going to do it all, I'm going to experience everything. And the reality is, and we all know it, is you can't, you know, you could stay up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, and you just can't, you know. I mean, Disney's constantly changing. They're constantly adding things, and it's not possible. But I think that's how it's going to be pitched. Or, I mean, you know, if I was marketing it, that's probably how I pitch it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, this is like it's going to be marketed as the Victoria Albert's versus going to quick service. Right. It's going to be
Plaza Restaurant versus Victoria and Elm.
This is it. And so if you want to pay for the Plaza Restaurant, or that's a great experience for some people. If you want to play, if you want to pay for Victoria and Albert's, that's also food that you can have for a meal that's you know, that's 10 times more expensive.
Yeah, but it's also superior. Yeah.
So they're going to market this as the superior experience, and depending on what it is, it may be or it may not be.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I see it on the elitist level that Bob sees it quite as strongly. No.
Well,
I don't know if anyone can see it quite as strongly as Bob, but I think they're just offering another thing. I mean, it's like you go to the popcorn stand. Do you want to get the souvenir bucket or not? Do you want your popcorn? You can get your popcorn. And you pay, what, $4? But if you want the souvenir bucket, you pay $7 or $9. Or if they have a holiday one, you pay like $11. But, and it's your choice. And it's not a matter of a lesser popcorn experience. It's you still have the same popcorn, but you get a little more. That's a very off the wall comparison.
Yeah, and that doesn't work here because, again, I mean, it is in terms of XPass, you know, depending on how they shape it, it is a lesser popcorn experience. You know, if I'm blocked out of the best places to watch parades or fireworks, or if I have to stand in line, you know, in the hot Florida sun in, you know, July to, you know, hug Duffy, and I say me in a figurative sense because I would not do that, while somebody else, you know, gets front-of-the-line privileges for that, yeah, my popcorn is of a lesser quality, you know.
Just like the hot dog buns. Sorry.
Yeah. But they've improved those hot dog buns.
Well, maybe they'll improve this too. Maybe they're listening and they're going to hear Bob speak and they're going to say, we need to appease Bob.
Yeah, send them some flowers.
That's the way to do it.
Roses.
You apparently respond well to them.
Yeah. Funny. Everybody's a comedian.
I think we've conquered the X-Pass.
You know what I did want to do is I wanted to do a quick shout out to Gabrielle, and she's going to a twirling competition in Orlando at Walt Disney's sports complex. And I just hope by the time this comes out, it'll be over. But I do hope that everything goes well with that and that you have fun.
Yes, we hope you have good luck.
She's my niece, our niece.
Good luck twirling.
Yes, twirl your little heart out. Don't break a finger.
Don't put somebody's eye out. it could happen. Freak
it could.
Accident.
It could happen.
You know. So freak twirling accident.
And if it happens, Bob will be there to report about it.
That's right. And look for who I can sue.
Yeah. Oh. That is going to wrap it up for this week's show. Thank you to pixievacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. Don't forget, you can contact any of our podcasters to get any kind of vacation quote. They're going to be great in helping you plan your next Disney vacation. You can download our shows at mousechat.net, and you can also get them at iTunes. You can send your listener comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. We'll read those, and if they're amusing, we'll read them on the air. Even if they're not amusing, we'll probably read them on the air. So please join us again here next week on Mouse Chat.